SMQBs episode 209. Just another smooth production as usual tonight, fellas. Rooster, who are you bringing to the bar tonight?
I am going to bring to the bar my favorite ex-Nick, Dante DiVincenzo. First of all, I'm going to tell him how much we miss him because the Knicks' three-point shooting is like trying to watch Michigan State make a three-pointer against Auburn. And then secondly, you just have to love the guy. I want to buy him a beer. His teammate, Naz Reid, who's one of the scariest human beings I think that ever stepped onto a basketball court, is about to get into a fight, and Dante jumps in between these two huge dudes and mixes it up. He's just the world's greatest teammate. He's hard-nosed. I love the guy. I miss him. I wish we never got rid of him, and we're suffering because of it. And I'd just like to thank him for his service to the Knicks.
All right. Pope, who are you bringing?
I'm bringing Kelvin Sampson to the bar. First of all, I'm going to chew him out for unfortunately costing me my one and only opportunity I've ever had to win a bracket in March Madness of substantial monetary gain because I had Tennessee beating Houston. But then I'm going to pat him on the back and buy him a shot because I want to hear his game plan on how to beat the evil empire. How is he going to take out the Dukies? Because as you guys know, ABC, anybody, ABD, anybody but Duke. So let's roll.
All right. Milk, who are you bringing?
By the way, you guys see what he just did there, right? He's connecting himself to Houston because he lives in Texas. Obviously, that'll come next.
Go Cougs.
Yeah, Jesus. I am actually same sport. I'm bringing Todd Golden, University of Florida head coach, wishing him congratulations on a Final Four victory and really also want to see his game plan to beat Auburn and what he's going to do to contain Jahni Broome. You know, the Gators beat Auburn earlier in the regular season a couple months ago. They only played them once. It's going to be a revenge game for Auburn, but it's been a hell of a run and it's been fun to watch. And they have, if you have heart issues, you should not watch a Florida basketball game if you are a fan because they are stressful as shit.
Houston's only loss this year was to Auburn, so it's going to be interesting. Gators beat Auburn. Houston lost to Auburn.
We're gonna jump into all that in a minute. I am going to bring one Aaron Leanhart to the bar.
Yes.
Yes, Rooster knows who that is.
Did he manufacture the Toledo or the Torpedo?
Torpedo.
That is the guy who created the Torpedo bat.
Yep.
If you have not heard about the Torpedo bat in the last 36 hours, what is wrong with you? What rock are you living under? But apparently he is going to change baseball. This is like aluminum bats were at one point the way they're jumping off. I mean, if Volpe can hit the ball out of the park with one of these things, anybody can. So I want to sit him down, talk to him, learn a little bit about how after hundreds of years of bats being the same shape, 150 years of the same shape bat, all of a sudden this guy's like, hey, I wonder if we do this a little differently, what'll happen? So that's who I'm bringing.
I can't believe the Yankees are cheating.
There's a guy on the Rays using the same bat.
I don't know.
His first name is Junior. You might have heard of him.
Hey, Rooster.
Probably not, though.
Do we have any sponsors to thank for tonight's show?
We do. Friends, if you are like me and you work hard for your clients, but you're a little tired of your marketing firm not working as hard for you, then I recommend that you switch to Digital Law Marketing. They work as hard as you do on your marketing, and I can tell you that you will see results with this company. We definitely have. And don't take my word for it. Go to digitallawmarketing.com and talk to some of their other references because they're an excellent company.
Yeah, amen. Truth. All right, Rooster, let's get into it. March Madness. We're down to four. What's going on with the tourney?
Well, it's both men and women's are all chalk. The men are down to 4-1 seeds, and the women still have six teams alive because there are two games tonight. So, and their highest seed alive in the women's tournament is a 3 seed. Otherwise, they're all 1s and 2s. So, in the men's tournament, we got all 1s for the first time in what, history?
Only the second time
ever. Second time in history.
2008 in San Antonio, all 4 number 1s made. I was actually at that tournament. Kansas beat Carolina in the semis and then beat Memphis in an amazing final game.
I mean, these teams are all hot right now. They're all playing great. Duke's the favorite in Vegas. It's hard to. Florida's on fire, and I wouldn't know who to pick right now. I'm sticking with Duke, but nothing would surprise me.
I think Hal sent around some stat earlier today that was like of the top 10 KenPom teams of all time, right? Four of them are these four teams that are left.
Yeah, but that only goes back to like 96. I mean, that wouldn't account for the Leitner Grant Hill teams.
That's true. But still, I mean, you get the point, though. Yeah. 30 yeah, years yeah. or so, yeah. right?
I think we got the matchups we wanted.
Yeah.
Right? This is it. The best four teams in the country going.
How are you feeling about Florida-Auburn, Milk?
I'm scared. I mean, look, the second half comebacks and what they've done have been, I mean, Walter Clayton's just been ridiculous, and it's all these guys coming up at the most important times. But I don't like facing teams in my own conference in a Final Four game. They know each other really well. They've played each other before. Auburn, I mean, I hate Bruce Pearl. He's a great coach and has screwed Florida over many, many times over the last 20 years. I think he'll have a great game plan for the Gators, but so will Todd Golden.
I think there should be a rule for next year that Bruce Pearl should not be allowed to appear on television in shorts.
I mean, I feel like he's going to, like, I mean, his face is just, my God, beat red.
What's the story on the Auburn kid Broome and the injury?
He came back in the game on Saturday, obviously. He hit a pretty important three-pointer. So, I don't know. I mean, look, if he's not 100%, massive, massive loss.
He played with one arm when he came back. I mean, he never even moved his injured arm.
Yeah, except for the three-pointer that he buried that ended my
hope. Yeah, he may have propped the ball up with it. But
right.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, that's a huge loss.
I haven't seen any update yet today, guys, on his condition. I mean, you have to assume he's going to play, but I would think with a hyperextended elbow or that ankle sprain, he's going to be limited a little bit. I mean, which is still, like, he's one of the best players in the country.
In the country, right.
Well, so, Milk.
But they got a lot of depth.
So, Milk, what did you guys do? You played Auburn once this year, right? You weren't in the pod to play them twice. What happened?
Played them once. Beat them at Auburn by almost 10 points. Clayton had, like, 30 points in that game or something. Like, so he went off. One of the things that worries me about Auburn is they are very good at defending the three-point shot. So, which, as you guys know, we rely on considerably to bail us out of these slow starts that we've been having. And that's been concerning in this tournament. You know, we have started off very slow. We've gotten away with it. You know, second half, we continue to come back in these games. Now we're facing a one seed. Now we're facing Auburn. If they have these starts where they're turning the ball over, they're just not, they look a little out of sorts. You can't get down. I say that, and then Florida seems to be able to come back from 10-point deficits with 3 points.
I think House hit the nail on the head last week, Milk. And if your bigs play well, you should do well against Auburn.
I think so. I mean, they've got, you know, look, when they first played them the first time, Condon was, you know, he had like 25 points. He's injured or not 100%, but they might have Broome who's not 100%. So I don't know. It's going to be, if I have to pick, obviously I think Florida wins that game. And I'm not just saying it because I'm a Gator fan. I mean, I think they're the better team, but it's going to be a battle.
Who's the scariest team right now of the four?
Duke.
Probably Duke.
Yeah.
It's gotta That's be what Duke. I thought. That's what I thought watching the games.
They don't have any weaknesses.
Pope, were you surprised by how they dismantled Alabama? I know you kind of turned into an Alabama fan recently.
Yeah, his other team.
I was. I thought, well, look, yes and no. I mean, after the destruction of BYU in a record-setting performance, you know, they had 25 threes, which broke the record by four, 113 points, just an unbelievable barrage. You would assume, I mean, it's like a golfer. We even saw this weekend, a golfer who shoots a 60 or a 62, something like that. They're not going to follow it up necessarily with another great round, and they might just shoot a little bit under par. Well, that's not going to be good enough in the NCAA tournament. So Alabama was definitely due for a letdown, and you can't be let down against Duke. I mean, the beginning of the game, Alabama had some good looks at threes, and they weren't falling, and Duke you know, they didn't play great in the beginning, but they just kind of steadily pulled away. Alabama just never had that confidence they had against BYU. I mean, you guys saw the game. I mean, Sears, Holloway, those guys were making bombs. So Duke is a team that will exploit your weaknesses. And if Alabama's not hitting threes, they're going to deny the inside game. And what's going to be interesting, I think I read that Duke has the number one offense and maybe Houston has the number one defense coming in. So, I mean, this is your ultimate. It's like a Super Bowl, you know, best offense, best defense. What prevails?
Duke's defense stepped it up, though, I thought, against Alabama. Oh, unlike the BYU game, Alabama was not getting open looks at threes.
No, I'm not saying that Duke has a weak defense at all. I'm just saying Houston's defense, I don't know if you guys saw them shut down Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee was a rolling juggernaut, blew out Kentucky. I mean, I picked Tennessee over Houston. I live in the Big 12. I don't see the Big 12 teams on par with some of the Big 10 and the SEC teams. So I was a little surprised how easily Houston took out Tennessee. Look, Houston Duke, I mean, it's the last, you know, it's the second game, it's the premier game. All four teams could win, but I still think Duke has the edge, although I've predicted in all my brackets that Florida would win, and I would love to see a Florida Duke, and I think Florida potentially could take them out, but Duke has to be the favorite.
So is it good for the game to have all four number ones, or is it boring?
I think it's good for the game this year. I think it adds a lot of interest. I bet the Final Four ratings will be pretty high this year, especially with Duke, because, you know, a lot of non-national following, Cooper Flag especially. But I wouldn't want to see it on a regular basis. I mean, look, we survived four number ones from 2008, and we've had a nice run until it happened again. So you don't want to see it every year. But I think this year is a good year to have four number ones. It's just titanic matchups that's going to be a lot of buildup. I can't wait.
I'm all for it.
Well, especially when you're number one.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Self-serving. I mean, look, I thought I had Bama playing against Duke. I was wrong there. But, I mean, I think this Duke-Houston showdown this could be an epic battle. Auburn and Florida have played each other already this year, but I'm dying to see the number one offense and number one defense go head-to-head.
So which is the first game?
Florida.
Florida-Auburn.
Florida-Auburn is first. Okay. All right. Predictions? Pope, go ahead. What do you got?
I got Duke over Houston. I got Florida over Auburn. And I guess...
Say it.
I guess...
Say it.
Well, I mean, I predicted it. I still have Florida over Duke. I can't wait to see.
Oh, okay. Oh. Milk, wow. What do you got?
Obviously, I'm taking the Gators. I think Houston's undervalued. I think they're not getting the credit they deserve. But I think Duke will be too much for them. That's going to be a closer game. I like that 4-point line. I think it could be around there. I'm going to take my Gators, of course, winning it all. Although I could see Duke totally beating Florida, but I'm going to take the Gators.
All right, I'm taking the Gators and Houston, and I got the Gators winning it all. Rooster, you get the last say on this.
I've got Duke beating the Gators.
All right, so nobody's got Auburn.
I mean, I think of the four teams, they're the weakest.
Yeah.
I mean, they had lost three of four coming in tournament. Now, look, I mean, they've obviously made a nice run to the Final Four.
Well, the broom injury could be really big.
Yeah. Okay. Well, sure would have been nice if Michigan State could have won that game for at least one of us on the show.
Did you have some money on that?
Jeez. I mean.
So close.
That would have been a good one. All right. Anything else on March Madness?
No.
Let's move into a little music madness, gentlemen. All right, let's go. Who are we pushing through? We're going to go to the rap division to get started here. We've got Dr. Dre versus NWA. This is a big-time matchup.
You have House's picks, right?
I do. Okay. But we're only going to those for tiebreakers.
Tiebreakers.
All right, so who do we
got? Dr. Dre versus NWA?
Yeah, who are we putting
through? Wasn't he in NWA? Yeah,
NWA made Dr. Dre and vice versa, so I'd say NWA.
I got NWA.
Milk?
Yeah. I mean, Dre, right. Eazy-E, come on.
I got NWA too. All right, that's an easy one. All right, Eminem versus the Beasties. This is sacrilege. You got to take Beastie Boys here.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me Eminem.
Really?
I'm going Beasties, but I still have to voice my protest over Public Enemy.
Well,
I'm taking Beastie Boys.
I was going through the channels on satellite radio the other day, and Bono was... DJing a show, and he played Fight the Power and introduced the song as better rock and roll than rock and roll. And
well, maybe they would have done better in the rock and roll.
No, no, no. He and his cultural lesson on how important they were made mine pale in comparison, made me embarrassed for our selection process.
Did you tell Bono that he didn't make it?
I told Bono we sucked.
Through the that you picked against you too?
No.
All right. Okay. All right. So we push in Beastie Boys are through. Now we're going down to the hair metal bracket. We got Motley Crue versus Van Halen.
Oh,
I'm going voting for Van Halen.
All right.
Van Halen.
Yeah, I got to go Van Halen.
All right. Well, I was going to go Motley Crue, but doesn't matter. Van Halen is through. All right. Bon Jovi, Metallica.
Metallica.
I mean, I personally like Bon Jovi's music better than Metallica, but you can't argue that Metallica is not a better band overall and impact on the world. So Metallica.
Nace, who are you going with?
I got Metallica.
All right, it's over.
All right.
You're not going to pick Milk?
Dude, you already voted for Coldplay. It's not like you're going to salvage your reputation.
I would have taken Metallica.
I like the Elite Eight matchup, though, Van Halen and Metallica. That's going to be interesting.
All right, let's go over to the alternative rock bracket where we've got Nirvana versus the Chili Peppers.
Close, but I'm going Nirvana.
I got to take the Peppers.
I'm going Nirvana because they started this whole alt thing anyway.
You know what? I'm going to take the Peppers, so we have to go to the tie.
All right, I like it. Oh. So we're going to House, and House has unfortunately taken Nirvana, so Nirvana will move on.
Oh,
good move.
Wow.
All right. All right. Okay. Well, next we got REM somehow versus Pearl Jam.
Good Lord. Oh. Cinderella's story is over. Sorry, Michael Stipe. Give me PJ.
I got Pearl Jam.
No hesitation.
Yeah. Rooster, Pearl Jam. I want you on the record on this.
Sweet.
Rooster.
Pearl Jam.
All right.
No, who did House take?
He had Pearl Jam.
Okay.
Whoa, all right, moving
great up. Great matchup, Nirvana and Pearl. I mean,
woof. Oh, we got some humdingers here now. All right, so this is the rock bracket. We have got the Beatles versus Led Zeppelin.
I'm going Led Zeppelin.
I'm taking Zepp, too.
How can you not take Led Zeppelin? I mean, but the Beatles are the Beatles. But I'll take Zeppelin. Let's go.
Milk?
Take the Beatles to make Toby have to tie it. I'll take the Beatles with you.
It's 3-2.
Oh, man, I grew up listening to Led Zeppelin. They're not the Beatles.
Toby had Zeppelin anyway, so Zeppelin gets all right, through.
It's over.
All right, now another epic battle. Springsteen versus the Rolling Stones.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Woo. Wow.
Stones for me.
Springsteen.
Man, I don't know if I could go home if I put the Stones over Springsteen. I've seen them both, but I've seen Springsteen like 25 times. 3 or 4 times in Europe, another couple times coming up. Give me the Boss.
So if I take the Stones, it's 2-2, and Toby has to be the decider, huh?
Yep.
All right. Yeah.
I bet he took the Stones.
He sure did. The Stones are moving on. All right. That's it.
I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. And I feel better because I didn't cause it.
So we got our Elite Eight. We got NWA and the Beasties. Van Halen, Metallica, Nirvana, Pearl Jam. Well, that's a big one. And Zeppelin and the Rolling Stones. Oh my God.
Does it get bigger than Zeppelin versus the Stones?
Tune back in next week. I think next week we should wrap the whole thing up. We'll get through the whole thing next week.
Yeah.
All right. Now, that brings us to what really matters in life. Back to baseball. And we did the AL preview last week. We are about 4 games into the season now, but we're going to do our NL preview. And I'm going to start it off with the NL East. Holy smokes, this division is loaded. And I read something that said since the, it's not been that long, but I guess in 2022, they expanded the playoffs again. And since then, the East has had 3 teams in every time. And I think it's shaping up to be the same way this year. The Phillies, Braves, Mets are all just totally loaded. You know, you can look at some of the additions to some of these teams. I mean, the biggest one, of course, being Juan Soto going across town from the Yankees to the Mets.
Juan who?
Yeah, Trader. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Trader.
He's hitting between Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso. And his numbers at Citi Field, he's got a 1.175 OPS with 12 homers and 146 plate appearances. So, and he also, by the way, has two of the five longest home runs in stadium history. So that's a pretty massive upgrade to that offense. You've also got, you know, I think some of the departures are more interesting than, you know, for instance, Jerickson Profar to the Braves. I don't know if that's that big of a deal. Nathaniel Lowe to the Nats. I mean, that's a bigger deal for Nats fans than it is to the division, I think. So some of the departures, though, Max Fried leaving the Braves, that's a big loss for the Bravos. I think Luis Severino leaving the Mets is kind of a big one. So it's going to come down to those three teams, Phillies, Braves, Mets, probably. The Marlins are a disaster. The Marlins will probably have the worst record in all of baseball this year. So it's, you know, it's hit or miss. But I do want to point one thing out here that's interesting. And Milk, you'll like this. The Braves are going to win around 95 games with a payroll of $216 million.
You got
the Phillies, who are going to win probably close to the same, 90, 92 games. Their payroll, $288.8 million.
Unbelievable, man.
The Mets, $322.2 million. And then we go down to the lowly Nats, who are at $114 million. And the abysmal Marlins coming in at a cool $69 million.
$69 million.
So the Mets are paying $322 million payroll, and the Marlins are at $69 million. There's a problem in baseball. There is a problem in baseball.
Oh, you finally agree. Okay.
Oh, I totally agree. I've always agreed with you on this.
Meanwhile, the Marlins have started the year 3-1, and the Braves are 0-4.
0-4. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, guess what? It ain't going to shake out that way.
Right.
So I wouldn't be too worried about that. One thing that, you know, is interesting, I subscribe to this newsletter, and Joe Sheehan, who's many of you guys probably know, really well-known baseball writer, he sent around his win totals, predicted win totals. He's got the Braves with 91, the Phillies with 90, and the Mets at 88. So that's how that division's going to go. It's going to be wild all year. But I'm going to make a crazy prediction. I'm going to bet that one of those three teams does not finish in the top three of that division. Okay? So somebody's going to have a down year. Somebody's going to have an injury. Somebody's going to have something go wrong.
Bet the Mets because they're the Mets.
The Mets are going to met. That could be.
So who's going to surpass them?
The Nats.
I knew you were going there.
I know House won't appreciate this when he hears it, but the Nats starting pitching in this opening weekend against the Phillies outpitched the Phillies starting pitching.
Wow.
Look at it. It's true. They did. They.
How did you guys do in that series?
Not well, but it was the bullpen. Well, we won one. I mean, one
you
and
won
two.
One. Okay.
But the bullpen shit the bed in two of those games. I mean, Mackenzie Gore, who was the opening day starter, set a record for most strikeouts in opening day with 13 and six innings. So he was electric, and Irvin pitched well game two, gave up two runs. And then yesterday was Mitchell Parker, who threw six shutout innings against that Phillies lineup. So pretty good pitching for the Nats. So that I bet you one of those teams is going to have something happen to them, and they're going to fall this year. All right, that's it on the NL East. Let's move over to the Central. Who's got the Central? I think that's you, Milk, right?
Yeah, thanks for giving me one of the more boring divisions in baseball, other than the fact that they have the Cubs in it. Who, by the way, I have winning this division. They were the most active in the offseason. I think the splash was getting Kyle Tucker over from the Astros. They also got Presley, the all-star closer from the Astros as well. So they made a lot of moves. I think they're going to – I mean, I know they didn't start well against the juggernaut Dodgers in Japan or wherever they were, but I think they're in line to knock off the Brewers finally, who have pretty much owned that division for the last few years. I know Cincy's always a team to kind of watch. I mean, obviously they've got De La Cruz. It'd be interesting. Terry Francona comes in as the manager of Cincinnati this year. So I've always liked him as an AL East guy. Thought he was great in Boston. So it'll be interesting to see what he does there. Cardinals, they had a big loss. Obviously, Rooster stole Goldschmidt. over to the Yankees. That they still have, you know, Contreras and Ryan Helsey and Arenado. The Pirates, they've got Skeens and no one else. They will win one out of every five games, even though he lost this weekend. He can't do everything. He gave up like 2 to 3 runs or whatever it was and still lost the game. And they have an old, you know, it's like, what's his name still playing for the Pirates? Who's the old guy?
McCutcheon.
Yes.
Yeah. Dargill.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think it'll come down to the Cubs and probably, I want to say, the Cardinals. I think the Brewers are probably, Willy Adames and Devin Williams getting traded was a big loss to the Brewers, and they didn't do much in the offseason either. So I think their reign is going to end. I think the Cubbies are going to take the division this year, baby. And Cardinals maybe in close second.
And Kyle Tucker's a good possibility for MVP.
He's a good fit in Chicago, too. Yeah. I think that was a good pickup. One of the better ones in the offseason.
All right. Pope, you got the West.
Do we just start and end with the dynasty the Dodgers are getting ready to roll out with? I mean, I guess the only question is, are they going to win the most games? And I think it's 0-1 Mariners that they're up against for all-time record. The rich get richer. When we talk about payrolls, the Dodgers are up there at 322 right now, but that's not even a realistic payroll because
it's not.
The deferred money that Ohtani.
$2 million a year, right?
Yeah, Yamamoto, all those guys are getting. I mean, it's ridiculous. And of course, they added Blake Snell, 2-time Cy Young Award winner in the offseason, and Tanner Scott, the ace closer. So, I mean, you know, they don't have any weaknesses. I mean, if you just look at their batting order, they got, you know, with Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Teoscar Hernandez, and they're 5-0. And I just don't see anybody challenging them. Now,
what about San Diego?
Well, I guess you could say the Padres, who are 4-0 right now, are looking like maybe they're the ones going to step up. You know, 162 game season, 4-0 is impressive, but talk to me in about 2 months.
Well, they play the Braves tonight, so
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, and they got Machado and Tatis, and they're looking for big years from them. Their biggest question mark is pitching. The D-backs, they had signed Corbin Burns in the offseason to anchor their staff. And the biggest question for the D-backs is, you know, can they hit again like the 2023 team that surprised everyone and won the wild card and went to the World Series? The Giants are treading water, and then the Rockies are probably more like a Marlins-like disaster. I think the Rockies, the A's, the Marlins, they'll be competing for the worst record in Major League Baseball. So, again, Dodgers win. Whether the Padres or D-backs get a wild card, that's going to be the biggest question.
Well, the Padres came out hot, that's for sure.
No doubt.
And they got to be feeling pretty good after sweeping the Bravos. So that they couldn't have hoped for a better start to the season, that's for sure.
Well, and the Diamondbacks had an 8-run, 8th inning to right their ship against the Cubbies. So
righted the ship for a lot of guys on this podcast, too, I think.
That's right.
Right, Milk?
That's right. Damn right.
could have been strike one going in after weekend one. So, all right, Rooster, who do you think's coming out of the NL?
I think, barring injury, the Dodgers are going to win over 100 games, so they're coming out. The D-backs and Padres are going to be fighting each other for hopefully a wild card spot. I think that division is as loaded as the East. And then I think Braves and Phillies are coming out of the East. I agree with the Mets. Mets are going to figure out a way to blow their starting pitcher's arms and do Met things like they always do. And then I think Milk's right. I think the Cubs will take it from the Cardinals this year.
Yeah. All right. Should be fun. So that's your NL preview. I guess the question is, when will the Dodgers lose? They're 5-0 already. Baseball just, you know, I guess spotted them 2 wins to start the season off anyway. So
they may not lose a game.
Yeah, they may not lose. So let's see. We'll see when they lose. All right. Anything else on baseball? Gents, who's got a punchable face?
I've got one.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to punch that little bastard who looks like an opossum caught in the headlights, Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports, who gets on there without doing any freaking research and accuses the Yankees of cheating and coming up with these torpedo bats without knowing that the Red Sox used those bats all during spring training. There were teams using those bats last year. They were declared legal last year. Like I said, the Rays have used them. The Blue Jays are using them this year. But no. According to this guy who just shoots from the cuff, it's the Yankees are cheating, and the whole reason they did it is because Volpe sucks. Volpe sucks. Huh? The guy as a rookie won a Gold Glove and hit home runs last year. He's got some pop.
To be fair,
he's got some pop.
You don't field the ball with your torpedo bat, okay?
So and then he accuses Judge of using a torpedo bat when it's clear as a bell he's not. All you have to do is look at his bat. He's using the same maple bat from last year. And he's got four home runs already in three games, right? Is it four or five home runs that he has? He had a three home run game.
A lot of home runs this weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of home runs.
A lot of home runs. But as you know, it helps when Nestor, our former pitcher, is the starter, and the guy's completely washed and basically looked like a men's softball league pitcher up there throwing meatballs over the plate to the first three guys up.
So, awesome. All right. So I'm always happy to punch Portnoy, but I don't think he actually said they were cheating.
He did say they were cheating.
I think he said that baseball had to get involved and outlaw these bats because it was ridiculous what they were doing. But I have to say, for Portnoy's benefit, I mean, the way it was described was that Volpe kept getting the ball, kept going off the bat on his hands. Right. That's like that was the report was. Well, they noticed that he was hitting the ball more off of his hands, so they thought maybe we should move the sweet spot. And if you're hitting the ball off of your hands, it's because you're not getting the fucking bat turned around in time. So I'm not really sure Portnoy's wrong on this one.
That's just false. That whole analysis is false. It's not like they moved the torpedo down to the hands on his bat. It's in place of where the label was on every bat.
I don't know.
They've thinned out the end of the bat. Because nobody hits, you don't want to hit the ball off the end. The sweet spot is still where the sweet spot always was. It's just got more girth to it on that bat.
It reminds me of when we were kids playing wiffle ball, and you had the thin bats, and then you had the big bomb bat,
the red bat.
The red bat that you could crush. I mean, essentially, that's what they're using right now.
Well, and I remember.
That's also not true.
It was a time. There was a time when.
There's restrictions on the total width of the thing, length, the weight, the whole bit. They've just moved some mass around within those confines.
Hey, here's an idea. Maybe they should say that you can pick one inning a game where you're going to get to use a torpedo bat. How about that for a rule change to make the game interesting?
How about either declare it illegal or everybody else go out and use them and stop your goddamn whining?
It's amazing how defensive these Yankees fans are getting.
To me, it's amazing how quickly Red Sox fans have turned back into the whining little bitches they used to be.
I think we should launch a full investigation.
Serious question. Does Judge have a chance at catching the all-time homer record by Bonds?
Where is he?
Was it 73?
72, 73, something like that?
Yeah. I don't know about that because...
That's so many.
You know,
it's a lot of homers.
It's a lot of homers, but he also doesn't juice like Bonds did.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that we know.
They're competitive, so it's not like he can swing for the fences on. If there's two outs and a guy on second and third, and he's got an opportunity to hit a single to right field, he's going to take it.
It's way too early for that, but let's keep an eye on that all season. Hey, anybody else have a punch? No.
Well, someone should punch. The former head coach of the Maryland Terps.
Oh,
Willard? Oh.
Why?
I don't get this. I mean, I get why you want to punch him, but I don't get the decision to move.
The Villanova?
Yeah.
He's been complaining ever since he took the job that the Big East was less travel, you know, easier on him, blah, blah, blah. And I guess he took that job, making them all kinds of promises, and then was out of there as fast as he could be. And just today, the entire rest of the starting five of the Fab Crab or whatever,
Crab Five is what they're called.
Crab Five have all entered the transfer portal, so the new head coach of Maryland is screwed.
Well, I did read that the athletic director left Maryland recently, and there was a lot of discussion about resources for the basketball program competing.
Do you know where he went?
SMU.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, he went to SMU.
Yes.
So I don't know. It sounds like there's a lot happening at the Maryland Athletic Department. But hey, anytime you want to punch the Torps, I'm in favor of it.
I'm going to punch Min Woo Lee for appearing on national television with that mustache.
By the way, I thought Nace would punch the transfer portal again because I saw today that Indiana has zero players now.
Is that right? They have zero?
Zero. They lost rough, six guys to the portal and like the rest graduated.
Yeah.
So they're going to have tryouts, Milk?
All right.
We'll have to bring our stupid Indiana correspondents in to discuss this.
Yeah, that's stupid. All right. Any other punches? All right. I got a couple lassos for us.
All right.
All right. The first one, I'm going to give a lasso to perhaps the most interesting player in all of sports right now, Alex Ovechkin. And it's not for his hockey chase. It's not for the chase of the goal scoring record. But did you guys see the Caps played, I guess it was Minnesota the other night, and Marc-Andre Fleury is their backup goalie. Fleury's played, I think, 21 years in the NHL. It was probably the last time the Caps were going to see him on the ice at all. And Fleury was kind of a nemesis for Washington when he was with the Pittsburgh Penguins for all those years. And when the horn sounded, Ovechkin skated over to the bench and made sure that all the Caps came out on the ice before they went to the locker room just to line up and shake Fleury's hand and show him the respect of the career that he's had. And it was pretty cool to see Ovi do that and make sure all those guys, I mean, there were guys halfway down the tunnel and he chased them all down and made sure everyone came back out and shook Fleury's hand. So pretty class act. So I thought that was pretty cool to see. And so I'm going to give Ovi a lasso for that. And then the other lasso I have, just to show you the breadth of sports that the SMQBs can bring to you, is women's figure skating. I don't know if you guys saw this story about Allison Liu, who was 19 years old. She won the world championships over the weekend. But the crazy part of it is a couple of years ago, 3 years ago or so, she was looked at as the next superstar and just completely burned out of skating and quit and walked away from it and just was done with it, wanted nothing more to do with it. Basically one of those kids, you know, who just it was so focused and pushed so hard, lost all love of it. And about 2 years ago, she went on a ski trip with some friends. And while they were out skiing, she was a college kid. While they were skiing, they went to an ice skating rink and she thought, huh, this could be kind of fun. And she put her skates back on and it inspired her to get back into it. This was supposed to be her, you know, rebuild her strength, get her coordination back sort of year. And she won the worlds and her reaction to it was just unbelievable. I mean, she came off the ice and was just like, was laughing because she couldn't believe it. And it's pretty cool. If you haven't had a chance to watch it, she did a Motown themed routine in Detroit where they were hosting it. The crowd was going crazy. So it's a pretty cool story. I'd recommend that you find her routine and then watch her. She sits there and wins the worlds. So.
Well, especially in light of the tragedy that happened to the U.S. figure skating team.
Good point.
And the, you know, the junior at the DC plane crash. So it's definitely a lasso.
Good point.
I got a small lasso and a bigger lasso. I'll call it a barbecue sauce, but the smaller one is Bruce Pearl. When he went to Auburn, first as a head coach, do you know he hired as a director of basketball operations?
No.
Milk? Todd Golden.
Todd Golden?
Yeah. He pulled him from Columbia and hired him as his first basketball director of basketball operations. He was there for a year or so. Then he went on to San Francisco, where he was assistant coach before going to Florida. So mentor meet mentee on Saturday.
Interesting.
The other lasso I have, full lasso, is I didn't get a chance to do it last week, so it's not quite as timely. But are you guys familiar with Minnesota Timberwolves player Joe Ingles or Inglis? Who?
Heard of him,
37-year-old journeyman, plays for the T-Wolves, started his first game in years a couple weeks ago because his son, who has autism, had never seen him play in a game. Because of the lights and everything, the sensory effects of a basketball game. He hadn't been able to sit through a game. But so finally he was able to sit through a game, but his dad didn't play. So the coach of the T-Wolves asked the players, and they were fine with it. So they started him, and in fact, they all got behind it. They started Joe in a game, and T-Wolves won big. But his autistic son finally got to see him play in a game.
Cool.
That was very meaningful, obviously, to the players, dad, and the family as well.
That's awesome. A good one. Definitely a good one. Any other lasses? All right, who's got a buzzer beater?
Well, I have one. I just want to encourage everyone to tune in tonight to the women's NCAA games going on. We're getting down to the final four after tonight. In one bracket, the amazing Dawn Staley has led her offensively challenged South Carolina Gamecocks to the Final Four again with a 54-50 defeat over number two seeded Duke. So the number one seed South Carolina moved on to the Final Four, awaiting the winner of number one seed Texas over number two seed TCU. On the other side of the bracket, number one seed UCLA beat LSU 72-65, so they are moved on to the Final Four.
First time ever, by the way.
Yeah, first time ever, despite a huge output of scoring 28 points by Flo J. Johnson for LSU. So in that bracket, number one beat number two. Just like I said earlier, it's all chalk this year, both women's and men. And then in the bracket below that, number one seeded USC is playing number two seeded UConn tonight. Unfortunately, USC's star Juju Watkins is out with a torn ACL. And they still managed to beat Kansas State after that injury, but they're running up against a buzzsaw in UConn tonight. UConn has, in the first three rounds, beat their opponents by a total of 126 points. Paige Beckers scored 40 points the other night. Beat over against Oklahoma. They beat Oklahoma 82-59. So number one USC against number two UConn tonight should be a hell of a game to see who's going to move on and play UCLA. I encourage everyone to tune in. Paige Beckers, again, I will re-say this, is going to be the number one draft pick.
Do you know who Juju's been romantically linked to?
Oh, who got some juice?
Jaden Daniels.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Ooh,
there's some. Yeah. There's some talent there.
Do you know where the Final Four is, Rooster, this year?
It's in Tampa.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It sounds like you'll be taking your boys' milk.
That's right.
Yeah.
Take your boys to that, and then they can be Yankees and UConn fans, and my work will be done. My work will be done.
Any other buzzer beaters?
That's it for
me.
I
got one. Over the weekend, Colorado went all in with Prime. And had made him one of the highest paid coaches in the country on a 5-year, $54 million extension. So he's going to make $10 million a year.
Wow.
And it's going to be very interesting to see how Prime does without his son and Travis Hunter. So
yeah,
we'll see. It's a lot of money for Colorado.
Interesting. I think we have to note that the Tush Push might be on the chopping block.
Please.
That the teams are rallying in the competition committee to outlaw the Tush Push because it's, you know, it's player safety. That's right. Why it's all about player safety.
300 letters to the commissioner over the last 2 years. I'm finally being heard.
Well, not since the Continental Army was rallying in Philadelphia has there been so many people just thoroughly offended and angered and, you know, the world is against them once again. So Philadelphia has once again found a reason to feel like it's them.
That's
versus
why they
the
won
world.
The Super Bowl, by the way.
Right.
They thrive on that. They'll figure
out. I wonder how Philadelphians feel about this torpedo bat situation.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Bryce Harper's getting one, evidently.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, they like it.
All right, guys. Anything else this week? All right. We'll have lots to cover next week.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Rooster, we got any sponsors to take us out?
Thank you to our friends at Injury Board, the premier networking organization for plaintiffs' trial lawyers in the United States, Canada, and Western Europe. If you want to check it out, go to injuryboard.org.
All right. I registered for the next event today or yesterday.
That's right, baby.
Yeah.
I'm my partner just registered today, Milk.
Nice.
All right. All right.
Good times. All right, guys. Have a good week. Catch you later.
Later.